For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Let's open in prayer tonight as we come around the Word of God, looking at the good works of believers in Christ. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you that we have been created in Christ Jesus and that we are not defective or people that don't have a purpose. You have given us a purpose on the earth. And Lord, I pray that every one of us has that understanding and that you show us, Lord, even tonight, what our purpose is. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight we're looking at the good works of believers in Christ. And so it's very, very important for us to see that as Christians, we are people that have a mission on the earth. We are not people that have nothing to do. We are not people that are meant to just sit and do nothing, as some people say, pew warmers. We're not like that at all. We are people that now, because we have been created in Christ Jesus, we now have something to do in the kingdom of God. Let's first of all have a look at the book of Titus, Titus chapter 2, and we'll look at verses 13 to 15 of Titus 2. And we see here the wonderful work of the great God and our Saviour Jesus Christ, what he has done, and what we are to be doing also on the earth. Now we see here, starting from verse 13 of chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, it says, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us. He redeemed us. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but we've been redeemed, bought back. We have had that price paid for our redemption, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, been redeemed by his blood. And we have been redeemed from all iniquity. And now he's purifying unto himself a peculiar people. Purifying unto himself a peculiar, that means a standout, separated, holy people. And you can see the words zealous of good works. Zealous of good works. We have to be people that understand. Yes, the price was paid for our salvation to come into the kingdom of God. You cannot come into the kingdom of God, cannot see the kingdom of God, Jesus said, unless you're born again. But once you're born again, and that's through the work of Christ, we understand that. Once you're born again, we now have works that we are to do, and we are to be people that are zealous of good works. That word zealous means that we are doing it wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, not thinking, oh, well, I can just drift along and do nothing. But we are zealous of good works. Also have a look at Titus 3, and we'll look at verse 8. Titus 3, verse 8. And it says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly." Notice he says affirm constantly, "that they which have believed in God," well, that's us, that's you and me, isn't it? "They which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Okay, so we see that word careful there. It's different from the sense of worry. This is being diligent and putting application in what you're doing, that you might be careful to maintain good works. You don't say, well, you know, 3 years ago, I helped someone, and that good work, I know it was a good work, I helped that person, I brought that person to Christ, or I prayed for that person. You don't say, well, that's done, that's my good work. You say, no, I've got to be a person who's consistent in being a person doing good works in Christ. And so we have to be people that are careful to maintain. And maintain means keep on going, keep on continuing, maintain good works. So think about this type of thing, because sadly there's a lot of people who think that they can just sit back and do nothing in the Lord. And, you know, they think, well, I've been saved, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that means I shouldn't be doing works or trusting in that. You know, they've got the wrong idea of works. We're not talking about a works-based salvation. We're talking about a salvation that Christ paid for, a full salvation, and he has equipped us to be able to go out into the world and, for example, preach the gospel, teach all nations, and so on. We'll look at Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, we'll look at verses 8 to 10. And here we see the creative work which God has done in our lives once we were born again. And that creative work is done in all those who are born again. And of course, if we see this, then we know that there is, right across the earth and right through history, the Christian church history, we see that there's been this continual creation that God has been doing. When the Bible calls us new creatures in Christ, new creatures in Christ. So we see in Ephesians 2, verses 8 to 10 here, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now you don't just stop there, do you? You don't say, well, you know, I've received the gift of God, salvation through faith. I've received that. And it's not of works, and I'm not going to boast about that. Now you've got to go on further. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And it's a walk of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. And you might think, well, you know, it's a hard ground. Victoria, Australia, it's so hard. There's a lot of darkness around. What can I do? This is where you've got to seek the face of the Lord. You've got to get before him and pray. And you've got to walk by faith, not by sight. Because if you walk by sight, you'd say, well, it's a hopeless task. You know, no one listening. No one wants to come to God. It's a hopeless task. Well, of course, that's the way the devil wants to present everything, as though everything's hopeless and dark and, you know, infidelity has taken over and there's no way anyone's going to be converted to your gospel, that type of thing. No, the Bible talks about the glorious gospel coming in and dispelling the darkness. So we have to be people, as it says there, that understand what we are. And it's a good confession to say, I am God's workmanship. I've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And I'm going to do those good works as the Lord reveals and shows by his Spirit for me to do that. Now, good works can take a multitude of different facets and kinds. There's no one thing in God that is the good work that no one else, you know, can do or everyone should be doing or can't do or whatever. There's all types of things that we would classify as good works. It could be anything from preaching and teaching to witnessing and praying to giving and supporting to showing love, looking after people, to upholding your neighbour, and even helping people and showing, you know, the kindness of Christ and compassion of Christ. Obviously, we've got to live and be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Live in the love of God and walk by faith even in a dark time. So we have here the very fact that we have been created in Christ Jesus. We're his workmanship. So you're not a mistake. You're not, if you've been born again, you have been created in Christ Jesus. You are now a new creature. Old things are passed away. And that's the way you should be seeing yourself, as a new creature in Christ. Have a look at Isaiah 5, verses 12 and 13. And here's a warning for us. And I've been talking a little bit about the fact that we should be seeing ourselves as people that have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, and we're to be careful to maintain good works in the Lord. And Ephesians 5, looking at verses 12 and 13 here, because we are to be people that see that God is working in history. He's working in the church. In fact, Jesus said, "I will build my church." Okay, so that means that from the time of Matthew 16 onwards, and before, obviously, because the church has foundations in the Old Testament, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, his major thing that he's doing is building his church. And the Bible calls us lively stones. And so we are involved in that building. We are people that are to do what he wants as the head of the church. So here we see in Isaiah 5, looking at verses 12 and 13 in Isaiah 5, and it says, "And the harp and the viol, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honourable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst." I think we can see that in the church globally at the moment, that there is this false type of, we'll call it a false type of revival happening in some places. Actually, it's happening quite a lot, where you've got the harp and the viol, the tabret, the pipe and wine, and we've got feasting, and but they're not regarding the work of the Lord. They're not saying, "Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" Well, obviously, and I talked about it a lot on Sunday, obviously one of the major works that has to be done through the church as a whole is the preaching aspect, preaching the word of God, teaching all nations. And for example, the fact that we see in Australia that the church has very little influence over the state shows us that the church is in a very weak state at the moment, a very, very weak state. And there has not been that regard of the work of the Lord or the consideration of the operation of his hands. And that's what it's talking about there in verse 13. "Therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge." Well, what's the beginning of knowledge? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and the knowledge of the holy. Well, here's something that's very holy called the Holy Bible. And I think we're at a stage, the church globally, where the knowledge of the Holy Bible and doctrine is quite low. And that's why we must be people of the Word, because people of the Word are going to be people that will understand what the work of the Lord is, what the work of the Lord is in through history, and what the work of the Lord is to go forward for the church. See, Christ wants to return for a spotless church, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. We know that this is what Christ is coming back for. What we have to see is that sanctification process of the cleaning up, the washing of water by the word, happening right across the globe with the church. And that's going to happen. That's going to happen. So that there is not the people having no knowledge, but the people having plenty of knowledge, as Colossians 1 talks about, increasing in the knowledge of his will and in the knowledge of God, and understanding what God wants done, being led of the Spirit of God, and seeing that there is keys that can happen which will open up whole sections of society. Whereas it may seem very dark at the moment, God can, just with the conversion of a certain person or certain people, or us walking through a particular door that he's opened, he can change things overnight. So we have to walk by faith. And we put our hand to the plough and we say, well, I am going to do what I know to do now, and I will seek the Lord in prayer and fasting to find out what he wants for me to do. And be people of the word. Be people of the word. Glory to God. Let's have a look at 1 Corinthians 3. We'll have a look at a few verses in 1 Corinthians 3. There's many people, as I said before, that they don't seem to take their Christian walk very seriously. And I've seen that over the years, because if they did take it very seriously, they would understand that, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is building his church. Well, I need to be involved in that. There's no getting around it. I should be involved with that. And yet you see and you hear all types of things which are denigrating the church, putting it down, and all types of things like that, or people doing things which are against the church and trying to say that the church doesn't matter, or God's ways, you know, I can go my own ways sort of thing. No, you've got to go the ways of God. 1 Corinthians 3, starting from verse 5, 1 Corinthians 3, 5. It says here, who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I think one of the things you have to understand is, yes, a person might have a pulpit ministry, but you know, I never call myself a self-made man. Qualities or talents I have has been given to me by God. It's called the grace of God, the enabling of God. We all have to understand that people like Paul, for example, had that grace and ability to be able to plant. He was doing that. Apollos had the grace and ability to water, and obviously it's watering, water of the Word of God, so he was a teacher. And we could see this type of thing happening, that there is various things in the body of Christ that God wants people to do in terms of the good works. And we need to find out. If you don't know what your function is in the body of Christ, you need to find out. It may not be something that's at the front doing all types of things like that, but it may be. But we need to find out. We can't drift through life thinking that there's nothing for us. That would be completely incorrect. So you can see in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And that's the way it should be. You know, we must always point to the Lord and not try to puff up ourselves in pride and so on. In fact, pride's a huge problem in the church. Not to say how much it is in secular, outside the church at the moment. That's a huge problem, obviously, as well. But because things have come into the church, pride's a big thing. It's a terrible thing. And it's an abomination to the Lord. A proud heart is an abomination. So we shouldn't be thinking, oh, well, I'm such and such because I can do this and that. No, everything you have has been given to you by the Lord, and we should be people that are constantly thanking the Lord and giving him the glory and praising him for that fact. Glory to God. Verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. So there is something God gives us to do. There will be rewards according to what you do. If you do nothing, there'll be no rewards. If you do things in line with the Spirit of God, there'll be exactly what the Lord is wanting you to have, which is this reward. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. So you can see that God is going to, and we're talking about believers in Christ here, God is going to be judging people when they come before him and say, well, what have you done for the kingdom of God? He's going to ask that question when you come to the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 9, for we are labourers together with God. This is the right way to think about your working on the earth in Christ, your good works in Christ. You're labourers together with God. You're not doing it by yourself. You're not doing it through just what you've been given, that you have, but what you've been given by the Lord. God is with you, in other words. Without Christ, we are nothing, we can do nothing. And we need to understand this. You know, right from the very youngest to the very oldest, God has given things into our hearts and lives so that we can be labourers together with God. For we are labourers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Obviously, talking about like a garden or a vine, and we're part of the vine. Ye are God's building. So we're part of God's building. Who's doing the building? Well, Christ said, I will build my church. But he's obviously using people in his body to accomplish that. Okay? And that's very important for us to see. And we see the example of Paul and Apollos, how what their parts were in that building. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. So can everyone be a master builder? Obviously not. It's because he's been graced to be able to do that. All right? He's been graced to be able to do that. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. So there you are. Someone else is doing part of the building. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so we see that the foundation must always be the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. And obviously the foundation of Jesus, who is the rock, the cornerstone, the building of his body, the church. We can see that this is very, very important for us to understand. All glory to God. Let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. Verse 12. Now if any man build, so what are we doing? We're building. Okay, we're part of that building. Building, that building work. If any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Okay, so it looks like different types of materials there. Obviously talking about the different types of work quality. Okay, so the gold type work quality would be at the very premium, word and spirit type stuff. That type of work. The stubble would be where people are just doing their own thing. And this is a tragedy that there are people just doing their own thing. They might be saved, but they're just fiddling around, not even seeking the Lord about things. But verse 13, every man's work, it tells us that God expects people to work and to have something done. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So we're talking about, we're right at the very beginning, The book of Titus, we read about good works. Well, good works would be in that gold, silver, precious stones type category. Okay? So that's the type of works you want to come before the Lord with. That's very important for us to see. And there's going to be a fire that will try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So if you've been doing God's will on the earth, that's going to abide right into eternity. That's going to go right into eternity, and the rewards you get will be eternal type rewards. I don't think a lot of people at the moment, even amongst the churches, really realise just how important it is to be applying yourself whilst you're on the earth as a Christian, whilst you have that time. This time is so very precious, even though it's a vapour in the eyes of God. I mean, the book of James says that our life is a vapour. So it's a very short period of time, but it's an opportunity to accomplish things of eternal value. Okay? And as it says there in verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you can see that this judgment here is not about your salvation. This judgment is about what work have you got to present to the Lord when you come before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you want that good works type work. You want the gold, silver, precious stones type work. That's the sort of work you want to come before the Lord with. You do not want to come with the wood, hay, stubble type work and say, Lord, well, I knew you were harsh and I buried the talent in the earth. No, God wants you to use what you've been given. He wants you to do the things that he's called you to do. And no one in the body of Christ is called to do nothing, because we've all been created unto good works. Okay, so let's understand this. And we've already had Paul say here that there is the grace of God that was given to him to do his work. There's also the grace of God given to us to do the good works that the Lord wants us to do. So verse 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. This is talking to Christians. It's a bit of a scary verse, that one. And I personally, we should pray, Lord, let us never come before you with those type of works. I want to come, show me, Lord, show me the good works that you want me to do in my life. I want my life to count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. That tells us that God sees the temple of God, the church of the living God, as very, very important. And defiling it, which would be not a good work at all, is something that's going to bring about destruction from God. So be encouraged, because the Lord is not trying to keep back the knowledge of what he wants you to do on the earth. He will show you. If you come before him with a genuine heart, he will show you exactly what he wants you to do. Okay? It's that. Remember we talked about zealous of good works? Zealous talks about sincerity. It talks about being serious about this whole area. All right, not playing around, but being serious, sober and vigilant because we're living in the evil day. We're not living in a time when, everything's all innocent. We're living in a sinful time, a dark time, and God wants as many people saved as possible. But he can't do that if the church is all compromised and doing all types of things out of his will. Have a look at Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. We'll look at a few more scriptures. Ephesians 5, the end of verse 25. And we've looked at this scripture many times before, and it bears looking at again. Ephesians 5, 25b. Now, it talks about Christ loving the church. Now, I've got to tell you that if Christ loves the church, we also should love the church. Do you understand what I'm saying? You should love what Christ loves. You should love what God loves and hate what God hates. God hates sin, for example. And if you've got the fear of the Lord, you'll hate sin. All right? So love what God loves, hate what God hates. That's a good rule to live by. So here's something that Christ loved and loves. Verse 25b says, Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So verse 26 talks about that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. The church must be a word-type church. The church cannot put the word of God aside. The Bible talks about glorifying the word, talks about God exalting his word above his name. So we know that this is something that's very, very important to God. The word of God must be emphasized as a top priority in churches. And he wants to present himself a glorious church. We cannot have a glorious church without that washing of water by the word. The washing of water by the word gets people so that their minds are changed, so that they get in line with the will of God. The Bible talks about transformed by the renewing of your mind, not being conformed to the world. People have to get away from this idea, oh, I've got to be relevant to the world. Frankly, you've got to be relevant to God. You see what I'm saying? That means you've got to be relevant to the Word of God. You've got to say the Word of God is relevant to me. That's what I have to conform to. That's what I have to have my mind transformed. And this is something that I cannot overemphasize, that the glorious church is going to be a word church in line with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of truth leads in all truth, leads and guides his people into all truth. Have a look at Mark 16, and then we'll go to Revelation 14. I just want to finish with these two scriptures. In Mark 16, we see the operation of a word church. We'll start from verses 15 and 16, and then we'll go to verse 20. Verse 15, Jesus is speaking here, and he's not just speaking to the people who were present on the day there. He's speaking to his church. Remember, Christ's building of his church goes right through the church age. All right, so we see here in verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Well, see, that is a very important message, therefore, isn't it? It's crucial for people to believe the gospel to be saved. That's a crucial message. It's crucial for people to believe it. If they don't believe it, they'll be damned. They will go to hell. As Jesus said, you'll die on your sins. And this is very, very important for us to see, that the message of the gospel, it's called in another place the glorious gospel of Christ. That message of the gospel has to be preached. We shouldn't be afraid of that word preached. You know, I've heard people say, oh, don't preach to me. Well, they should be desiring to be preached to. I tell you now, Christ preached. He was the greatest preacher this planet has ever seen. Okay, so he preached. Teaching and preaching was the major area of his ministry. That's what happens when that word goes out. Verse 20 says, and they went forth and preached. They do? Preached. Preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Notice it says the Lord working with them. So what are they doing? They're doing good works, aren't they? They're doing good works to get that preaching out, to get that preaching done. You know, we're not going to turn to Matthew 28, but we know that we have a great commission to teach all nations, teaching them to observe what Christ has commanded. So we see here that the Lord is working with us. You're not doing it in your own strength. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So you're relying on his strength to get the job done. Okay? So don't think, well, it's such a big thing, I could never do it. Well, the Lord's working with you. He'll show you how and what he's graced you with. And that's what you should be doing in line with the will of God. So, verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. We need to understand that the Lord confirms the word preached with signs following. And that has to happen as we go forward. What has to happen? That there's that preaching going forward and our understanding that the Lord is working with us. Glory to God. That's a wonderful thing. Finally, let's have a look at Revelation 14, verses 12 to 16. I like this passage of Scripture. It's such a wonderful passage of Scripture because it really shows us where the church is heading today. I'm talking about the church globally, where it's heading today. Revelation 14, 12 to 16. You know, we shouldn't be thinking, well, the church is going to be like this whimpering dog at the end of the very end of history, and we barely get through, and the Antichrist has taken over, and the whole world has basically gone to pot and there's nothing we can do about it, and darkness has taken over, and oh, woe is me. Quickly, Lord, rapture us and get us out of here so we can be in heaven forever. We are not of that pessimistic viewpoint, okay? Let's have a look at what the Lord wants. We are living in a time of history where we've got to be patient, all right? So everyone understands that. We've got to be patient because there is some major things coming up that will utterly change this planet. Starting verse 12 of Revelation 14, it says, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Okay, you need to know about the commandments of God in his pure word and the faith of Jesus. We should understand that we're faith Christians. Verse 13, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours. Okay, so there's people who have been labouring in the Lord. Labouring in the Lord. All right? Notice what it says about their labours. And their works do follow them. You know, we're living in a beautiful time now where, for example, on the internet, you can go back and see people that you could not have seen in the flesh because they were years before your time, and you can see them preaching and teaching. And I'm thinking of one particular faith preacher now, which, you know, I could never have attended any of their physical meetings, but there's many examples preserved for us to have a look at. There's many books that they've written. There's many other things that they've done, such as praying and started up works and in organisations and so on, and have done good works which will flow on into the future. God wants us to take the good part of what they've done, because sometimes they've done things in a mistaken sense, but a lot of times they've done things which have been really good, and that's the type of things that do follow them. Their works, it's talking about those good works that they've done, do follow them. Verse 14, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man." Notice it says like unto the Son of Man. It's not saying the Son of Man was sitting on the cloud. Well, what's like unto the Son of Man now? It's talking about the church, isn't it? Because we're called the body of Christ. And we're supposed to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're like unto the Son of Man. "Having on his head a golden crown, and by and in his hand a sharp sickle." So it looks like this church is a victorious church, understanding the victory that they have in Christ, and understanding the work that's to be done, because there's a sharp sickle in his hand. Okay? Verse 15, "And another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, Thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." We won't go any further, because it talks about another angel then. But this particular thing that we see here, the one sat like unto the Son of Man, the church, had a work that was to be done, and thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. There's going to be a massive reaping of the earth for Christ in the future, because there's been a lot sown throughout history. Lots of those works and labours that have been done by good men and women of Christ right through history, and their labours follow them. There's people, good men and women now, doing good works, good faith works for the Lord now across the earth. And we should be praying for them. God knows who they are. And praise the Lord. Also pray that the church meets with this type of thing, that is, that there is going to be more and more word emphasized in the churches and preached and taught, and people getting ready for that great reaping. It doesn't sound like a whimpering end for the church at all. It sounds like a glorious, victorious, strong reaping end for the church in history. Praise the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you that you have revealed through your word the good works that you want us to do, Lord. And I pray that you reveal to every one of us our place and what graces you've given to us. And Lord, I also pray that we be zealous of good works, that we go forward in that zealousness, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We thank you, Lord, that we are your workmanship. And we praise you for that, Lord. You've done a work in us. You've made us new creatures in Christ. And we praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise